Samuel Gordon Stewart, and he's going to talk to us about small business security. Thank you, Samuel.
Thank you, Michael. Okay. Okay, we won't do that one just yet. Right. Something like that, you think? Yeah, okay. How's that? Firstly, I'll just tell you what this isn't about. I'm not here to talk in depth about IP tables, and I'm not here to talk in depth about Windows malware issues in depth. I will touch on some of those issues, but they're not the main focus of it. What I am here to talk about, I started using computers a while back. I do remember one funny time. I also happen to attend Dixon College, which is sort of 20 minutes that way. I'm in year 12 there, and I'm also part of the SNAP program, which is school-based new apprenticeship. In that, I'm employed by about 8, so I have had some experience in things, and I have been around to quite a few different businesses, is that they just tend to think of security as something that's really expensive and mysterious. It's that mystical black box over in the corner that nobody ever touches, and you have to get in some amazingly expensive expert to fix it every time it breaks. And that's real. All right. Now, on the firewall side of things, obviously, the firewall doesn't have to be a mysterious black box. Now, has anybody here heard or used Smoothwall? Okay, more people than I expected. Okay, there is a code fork of Smoothwall as well called IPCOP. They Linux-based it is a Linux distro, but it's cut down such as proxy server, DHCP server, and so on, which really is helpful to centralise management of the network to some extent. There's also some other things. It can act as a DNS proxy server, not some quite extensive logs as well, which is very handy if something. They really don't need any Linux knowledge to run it. I was kind of expecting a few people to walk out who weren't here for this type of thing. It is really designed so that you don't have to have Linux model, in that you've got the community version and you've got the quite useful there. Quite a big thing. Basically, Smoothwall sort of runs in a particular way. You've got two or three interfaces which are sort of color-coded for simplicity. You've got the red interface. Ooh, that is exactly a good idea, because if those things do become compromised, then data on your green network. And, of course, you can just cut out the orange network if you don't want it. Support isn't guaranteed, but it's done by the community, as with most open source projects, I guess. It has notes here, which I had a bit of an accident with last night. As you might be able to see there, I'm readable, so if I squint at it, you'll know why. This is a sort of typical very small business network. We've got the ADSL internet connection, maybe even ISDN if they're still using that. Dial-up would be very rare now, but printer for this is easy enough to draw. I don't think I did draw it, so it doesn't matter. With floppy disks and other stuff. And probably one switch they're probably looking at. They probably also wouldn't have the resources to have someone in there permanently running the network, or to have someone coming in every week or so to update it. So if they can run it themselves, I mentioned, but there is Windows Internet Connection Sharing. You don't typically deal with networks as such. I mean, Zone Alarm would drive whoever's sitting at that computer insane when it asks them 5 million times a day if they want a program to access the internet. There's the Soho router option, and if anyone has any questions at any time, just butt in, that's fine. Patience there, and sometimes the web interfaces are a bit odd, but they are getting there. It's black box category. It's just far too complex for a small business network there. It works. I mean, I'm doing a CCNA course at the moment, but really they're just way too complex. And then you've got your proprietary gateway devices like your Symantec devices and so forth. Generally there are cheaper alternatives. Notice from the squiggle under the word smoothwall, I did give up on the program I was going to use and I ended up using Word. Sorry about that, but it broke my month-long Word drought, so the balance is out. Basically, you've got the internet, you've got the read interface, some stupid made-up IP address, and it has an internal IP address, but it will pass the public IP address on to where you'll put all your computers. Now, there is a reason why I've gone with those funny IP addresses starting at .10 for all the PCs. I will get to that a little bit later, but there is a logical reason for it. Okay, that's basically my motive. These people that just don't have the time to learn on the host computer, which I forgot to mention could really be anything you want, from anywhere from a very low range Pentium. You might be able to get away off a 486 if you really wanted to. Anywhere up to something new and powerful that's just overkill. There are two ports CD-ROM, which some have been known not to. You'll be prompted about three times with this type of error message. So if there is something you need to back up, then do so, because otherwise you're going to lose it. It does get you to set up the green network first, for obvious reasons. If you're doing it, it's all one users, so I just do a test setup on that. Click through a lot of them, but one thing it does have, if for some reason it does die on you, you can restore the configuration from a floppy disk, floppy disk. Make a floppy disk image. That's helpful, as it saves. This confuses a lot of people. This is not you have to use one, because Smoothwall will not let you install an update unless it thinks it's valid, and it goes through the Smoothwall website to check this. So if it can't get out to the internet, you're not going to be able to install patches without messing with files. So it's important. Also confuses a lot of people. This isn't general ADSL. This is for USB ADS. Mine just kept dying on me, so I went to the more sensible Ethernet option. Now, your network configuration is pretty straightforward. It's the green, orange, red stuff we talked about earlier, including the modem, if you're using one. Modem, in this case, it basically asks you a few extra bits of information. If you're doing that, then you need to go through this procedure. It's pretty straightforward, but with most ADSL modems, you just let them authenticate to your ISP and just grab the public IP address off DHCP, which is nice and easy. If you're not using, no real need to mess with configuration files, and it's pretty straightforward. So you've got the admin user, which is your web interface user. It's a very important one, because basically if you give this to anyone, you're compromising your security instantly, so don't do it, just keep it to yourself, and can only access the setup program. So you may have to access the command line, but they can still make the changes that you allow in the setup program. And setup's complete, simple as that. It'll reboot. Why am I showing you a boot screen? Well, easy reason. At the moment, you're only seeing the word Smoothwall up in the black box there. Things up. And login prompt. At this stage, you can just put a physical console there, unless it's an emergency. Alright then, we'll get on to the web interface. Again, I'll be flicking through it pretty quickly, because it's not overly important, some of the things in there, but there are two ways to access it. There's the unsecure way via standard HTTP to figure out why. Main page, which is the dial user for people who need to be able to access the connect and disconnect options but don't need to be able to administer Smoothwall. So that's there. A very simplistic what is running, what isn't running. These ones, disk usage and so on. their future releases will probably use the 2.6 kernel, but at the moment they're happy with the 2.4 kernel, so it's working fine. They'll just keep using it and updating it if they have to. Traffic graphs. Now, I mean, you will start to notice a pattern of usage over time. So these can be used. Your web proxy. Smoovol, of course, uses Squid. If you do so, you don't edit squidconf, because Smoovol overwrites that every time Squid restarts, because it stores this elsewhere. There's an ACL file, which is basically where you would add any modifications to Squid, but if you really feel like it, you can set it up here. Useful if you're running IP addresses what, so I do like to go between them sometimes. Dynamic DNS services. Obviously, a lot of internet connections have dynamic IP addresses, so Smoovol will be happy to sort of remote access. You can turn SSH on or off as per your needs. The interface is coming from where it should, but it does go nuts sometimes and just locks you out of everything. So I just generally leave that turned off. It's just a pain. And the time, it'll update from public time servers, so just it's all done by a simple web interface. Now it's all from the outside. So if you do happen to want to open up the secure web interface, you open up port 441. SSH on Smoovol runs on port 222. So it's slightly different from the standard SSH port, same reason, but the other services run ISPs or such. IP block. You know, I recently reinstalled my Smoovol because I had faulty memory in there, which kind of killed stuff, and so I haven't really brought it up to the level I had it at one stage. I used to have a full list of stuff in here. More advanced stuff. Blocking. You do have more specific ones such as the web proxy, items off screen, but the tick boxes, you can do who is lookups on those addresses or add them to the block list. Probably not advisable on your own IP address, but if you really felt like it. And it does have an export button for all the logs, which basically patchy, but for some stupid reason people like to throw IIS exploits at me. Simplifies that. You do need to be online to do it though. It doesn't store the stuff locally, it does communicate with online who is servers. And you can do ping and tracer out from your web interface as well. There is a really bad Java SSH all finds and updates from the Smoovol website. It will put it in version 2 so far. As you can see there, most of them are kernel vulnerabilities which mostly relate to privilege escalation. Really not a major issue, seeing as you've only got two console users being both having sort of root privileges, so it doesn't matter too much. That procedure to some extent in newer versions, but at the moment it's just well, so you can't accidentally install a corrupted one. Modem settings, have plenty of strings for it, then you know where to go. Some Alcatel modems have really just need strange files to make them run, so that's where you can put it. And reboot and shutdown, very rarely needed, but sometimes every page has context-sensitive help, which I've really exploited really badly here. For those of you who are wondering, obviously I'm using Firefox here. I really recommend that if anyone in this room does use IE, please stop. Usually there can be problems. Some of them will bring, but it's really not such a good idea. You could do if you wanted to, but it's better to just put that somewhere on a more secure network, because the more stuff you have running on your firewall, the more exploits there are, and the more chances there are of it being compromised, so just be wary of that. I've got ones that will give you information about traffic per IP ports use most traffic. There's traffic shaping. There's a few different variations on that. They are slightly complex to install on Smoothwall at the moment, but that is getting better. There's intrusion prevention systems. Now, this kind of follows on from... I used to run it for Just or Not. It is a useful utility, but it is a bit overly zealous if you just leave it to its defaults. And if you turn on a few too many options, it'll block all your downloads, as I discovered, which is good fun. There's Dan's Guardian, which is incidentally written by one of the people Hassle you don't have to think about. The websites and the Smoothwall website, they both run bulletin board software, and they weren't up to date, and there was an exploit run on that, and the smoothwall.org server was down for a little while. The mailing list haven't seen a screenshot of. Basically, there were a number of internet because some Windows users were used to it and they just wanted it. So I was feeling adventurous, pulled out Visual Basic and created a ping program that pings Google and decides whether you're connected or not. Another person, Martin Pott, went and made it a bit better. He actually just suggests you really just go to Google, easiest way to go online. As you can see on the side there. It's also run by Martin Potts. He's very good at that. But there are certain things such as extra IP tables configuration and other things there, like advertising with it. Now, there is obviously the corporate version for people who actually do need support. It does obviously cost money, but it helps fund the open source project, and a lot of the things from that make it into future releases of the open source version. So if you do feel like supporting that, rightio, we've got a few other network security tools, but there are other things. On the desktop, just don't use accounts with high administrative power when you don't need it. It amazes me the number of people that run as administrator constantly. It's pointless, and especially on Windows, you're giving out an invitation to any sort that was 3 years old. What that achieves, I don't know. They can trick you one. It's not exactly one of the easiest things you can do. But basically, I had some notes on that. Running Windows Update is a good idea. Microsoft do have a weird habit of having monthly release browsers and email clients. Basically, I'm saying, basically they tend not to use ActiveX, which is a good thing. There are going to be some sites that will require Internet Explorer, so only use it for those. Now, file sharing here, I'm actually talking about Internet file sharing, such as Kazaa or stuff like that. Why you would need that, it's not exactly a security tip here, but more a data integrity tip. But I've had lots of stuff just die on floppy disks. I had one Word document for an assignment a few years ago that I was transporting off floppy disk from home to school. Luckily, I made a backup of it the night before, because when I got to school, don't run stuff from people you don't know, that sort of thing. It's stuff that do emphasise that whenever you can. Even if you're not running those networks, it's helpful for people who aren't security conscious to sort of be aware of those things and be reminded occasionally. And if you're running Windows, it's a good idea to move to Linux. That is, that's personal opinion. I don't know how many of you would agree with that. I suppose that's where I've lost the screen here. There we go. Again, guaranteed support and a web interface. It tends to be a little bit more cost effective than some of the other solutions, because you're not necessarily paying for all the stuff you don't need. A lot of things are, of course, modular, but in general that's just something I've found. And when you compare some of the price, And of course the firewall wasn't the end of the story, just keep an eye on other device aim. And that thing that animated down the bottom there is just my sort of online avatar that I use in general. It's really bad animation that I just threw together for no apparent reason, but yeah. Yeah, so anyone have any questions? And that there is TCP and UDP, so... here says TCP. I can't actually click on it, obviously, but yeah. Yeah, there are some wacky things on some others. I've seen some rather bizarre licensing schemes where you have to pay per client machine, and if you go one over, I've used Frisco, which can be booted on Frisco. It's another GPL product. I've used IPCOP. I use it for a small amount of time. And I've used Client Connect once or twice. I'm running it as a server now. I run it in server-only mode because I don't like much nicer. But at the end of the day, not everyone's going to agree. And the MD5 checksum... When you download it, there's all the MD5 checksums listed on the page there. And also, when Smoothwall gets the updates list, when you upload it, it basically will check the file name, I think. It's been a little while since I've delved into that script, so I'm not 100% sure on that. But then it runs an MD5 checksum on it, so that before it does anything else with it, it'll say, is this the right MD5 checksum? And if it's not, it'll spit back. It doesn't necessarily know that that's correct. We'll sort of go through and it'll get the updates list again. Usually that corrects the problem. There's been a few occasions with some caching proxies that it feeds the same garbage to it again. There are a couple manual ways to install it. But in general, you could easily just go through and point, actually. I will suggest that to the development team. I agree with you. I mean, I never actually thought of that. It doesn't really go through HTTPs. It is just a simple HTTP GET request. So, yeah, it's a good point. Any other questions? That looks about it. Okay.
We have a 2-hour lunch, so we'll be back at 2. And we have a talk about SSL, a tool, and I predict the music. We'll learn a bit about writing SE Linux policies from Russell Cockroach.